Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Daily Drop podcast. Today, we are going to try something a little bit different. We're going to try out a new format of episode. And this is a result of a question that Megan and I both get asked all the time, maybe more than any other question. And that is, how do you justify having so many credit cards? Now, I don't have what I would consider to be a ton of credit cards, but I definitely have far more than the average person. And some of those cards have pretty high and expensive annual fees. And so people want to know, like, this is great that you can get so many good sign-up bonuses, earn so many points, you get to use some of these perks from the credit cards, but how do you justify holding all of them? Because sometimes benefits overlap on cards. So how do you justify having cards like that? And so we're going to try out a new episode format that is basically just a very quick breakdown of how we justify annual fees of cards. And justifying the annual fee in this case means, what benefits do we get and how valuable are those benefits and how do those compare to the cost of the annual fee? Does it come out to less than the annual fee and there are some intangible benefits that lead us to hold onto the cards? Do they sort of break even and that's good enough? Or do we get insane outsized value where the value we get from the card far outweighs the annual fee of that same exact card? And so to kick us off today, I'm going to talk about the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And if you remember episode one of this podcast from last year, the episode was all about how I was considering upgrading my Chase Sapphire Preferred card to the more premium version, which is the Chase Sapphire Reserve. I eventually did do that and am pretty happy with my choice, although a couple of pieces of news that have come out recently have tainted that a little bit. I'll explain that in a bit. Anyways, the Chase Sapphire Reserve is a card that earns ultimate reward points. It's in the same family as the Chase Sapphire Preferred, which has a $95 annual fee, but the Chase Sapphire Reserve has a $550 annual fee, so significantly higher than its younger sibling. So why did I upgrade the card, and how can I justify holding on to the card every single year? Well, right off the bat, there is an easy way to significantly decrease the net annual fee, and that is the annual $300 travel credit that you get with the Chase Sapphire Reserve. Now, unlike other travel credits, say on American Express cards or even the Venture X that require you to book travel through the portal of those banks in order to take advantage of the credit, the Chase Sapphire Reserve is way better because it just works. Sorry, I'm choking on nothing there. It just works with any type of travel. So as long as you're charging these travel expenses to your card, the credit just automatically triggers. So if you have a award flight that you book, let's say a Southwest award flight, and you pay $5.60 in taxes and fees, that $5.60 that you charge to your Sapphire Reserve card is just going to be credited, $5.60, and that will keep happening until you've reached that $300 threshold. So it's pretty amazing because you don't have to do any work. It works for any type of travel. You don't need to be booking directly with an airline. You don't need to be booking through a portal. You don't need to go in and manually activate the credit. And $300 is great because I think that if you're someone who's considering holding this card, chances are you spend $300 a year in travel. So you can basically treat this as cash. And that's how I treat it. I treat it as essentially a net $250 annual fee because of this credit, because usually within a week of, I think within a week of upgrading this card to the Chase Sapphire Reserve, that $300 travel credit was used because, you know, I basically am traveling full time. And so spending $300 on travel, again, that can mean train tickets, that can mean transit, that can mean flights, hotels, taxes and fees and surcharges on award tickets. It's pretty broad and a very, very easy way to just cut that annual fee in more than half. So that's a good one. Another one of the big benefits of the card that you get is a Priority Pass Select membership. Now, this is different from other Priority Pass memberships because it's one of the only memberships in the world from a credit card with Priority Pass that gives you access to Priority Pass restaurants as well. And this was one of the big reasons that I decided to upgrade the card because I obviously have Priority Pass, maybe not obviously, I have Priority Pass with a number of different cards. And so generally speaking, when I get a new card and there it has priority pass with it, I don't really value that because I already have it on multiple cards. I could close a couple of cards that have it and I'd still have access to it. But priority pass restaurants works a little differently because, first of all, how it works is that there are restaurants and airports that partner with priority pass. Now, this is not just any restaurant. You'll have to go to the priority pass website or app to see which airports have priority pass restaurants. But essentially, what you can do is show up to the restaurant, tell them you have priority pass select, and how it works is you get a flat $28 USD off of your bill at the restaurant. And because this also allows you to bring a guest, that means that if you bring a guest in with you, you as a group will get a flat $56 off of your bill. And this is great because, number one, there are some airports out there that I've experienced that don't have any priority pass lounges, but do have a priority pass restaurant. So that's kind of cool because if you don't get lounge access, you can still get $56 if you're traveling with someone, or almost $30 if you're by yourself off of your restaurant bill, which is maybe the next best thing after getting free lounge access and getting free food, just getting free food at a restaurant. Additionally, like sometimes priority pass lounges, it's nice that you get a lounge and sometimes it can be nice to just have a quiet space, but oftentimes the food isn't stellar. You're not getting like really nice food. You're not maybe getting a lot of food. Sometimes it might be just like little finger food and snacks, maybe a bottle of water or something. And sometimes the lounges are really crowded. And so there are situations where I would much prefer to be in a priority pass restaurant and get like some good food and still get it for free and not have to deal with the hustle and bustle of the lounges that can often get busy and the lower quality food. And so I put a pretty high value on that because I pass through a lot of airports that have priority pass restaurants. I think in the US, the airport I travel to most often is Boston. I am from New Hampshire originally, so that's usually where I fly in and out of. And so Boston has a priority pass restaurant. That's fantastic. Boston also has a Chase Sapphire Lounge, one of the few in the country, which brings me to one of the other benefits of this card is that you get unlimited access with the Chase Sapphire Reserve to Chase Sapphire Lounges. Now, like I said, there are only a handful of these in the country. And so this probably would not be a huge benefit to you unless you live in one of those airports or unless not live in the airport, live in a city with one of those airports rather. Or for me, I pass through Boston Airport maybe like 5 to 10 times a year. And so getting access to the Sapphire Lounge, which I've been to and is fantastic. I'll be there actually in a few days. Again, I put some value on that too. Not a ton, but it's a great lounge. The food is great. Free drinks, nice views of the runway. It's a very comfortable lounge, very big, kind of one of the more high-end lounges. That is adds some value to the card for me as well. Now, one note about the Priority Pass restaurants, that benefit is being removed in July. Unfortunately. So of course, like I finally decide to pull the trigger and get the Sapphire Reserve and they remove the restaurant benefit, but there's still about 3 months to use that benefit. So for any of you who have the card already, you can get some value out of that. Others, like if you're considering upgrading your preferred card, probably not a reason to do so now, unless you have very specific travel booked and you look that up and see that you'd have access to restaurants in the next 3 months. Yeah, maybe that's still a reason to go ahead and upgrade the card or open the card for the first time, but don't rely too heavily on that for much longer. And then one of the other more tangible benefits you get from this card is the earning rates. The earning rates are fantastic, actually, in my opinion. You get 10x ultimate rewards points on hotels booked through the Chase portal, which is great. You get 5x points on flights, which is also great. And you get 3x on all travel and dining, which is also great. So this is one of the only cards that you just earn like a flat 3x on all travel. And again, this is not through the portal because the portal has even higher rates than that, but just all travel, the same types of expenses that I mentioned in relation to the travel credit earlier, that all earns 3x points on travel after you've depleted that $300 credit. So you don't earn points on your purchases that are offset by the credit, but after that $300, you're earning 3x. So for me, again, I'm someone who basically lives on the road. So maybe I have more, not maybe, I definitely have more travel related expenses than the average person. But let's say I spend about $2,000 a year on non-chain hotels, for example. So hotels that I wouldn't be booking directly with the program, that I would book through a third party. And in this case, let's say that's through the Chase portal. Let's say I spend about $1,000 a year on non-award flights that I can book through the Chase portal. Let's say I spend about $5,000 a year on travel. Again, I'm basically gone 10 months of the year. So I don't have the same like at-home expenses that most people have. So my my travel expenses are generally, I'd say, much higher. And then let's say I spend about $300 a month on dining, or about $3,600 a year on dining. Let's say if we add up the points we earn on the card from all of those expenses, that comes out to just over 50,000 ultimate rewards points a year earned on the card from my normal spending, assuming I'm putting all of that spend on this card, which I am. I think generally those rates are just really good. So unless I'm working on a sign-up bonus, or unless I have a co-branded card, or unless I have some other benefit from another card, this is where I'm putting most of my spend, generally speaking. So over 50,000 points, if you're using transfer partners from Chase, is worth at least $1,000, but likely more than that if you're careful. So for example, if you transfer 50,000 points to Hyatt, you could book as many as 14 free nights at Hyatt Category 1 hotels, which only costs 3,500 points a night. That's pretty crazy. In the last 2 months, I've stayed at a number of Hyatt Category 1 hotels. So for me, I can that's actually a reasonable redemption for 50,000 points, up to 14 nights at Hyatt hotels. That is insanely valuable. And that alone, just the points you're earning from the card, could help justify that net $250 annual fee. Again, I'm putting a lot of my spend on this card, so you would want to crunch the numbers for yourself, but it has really good earning rates, and that's not even including normal purchases that are just earning 1x on the card, for example. It also earns 10x on Lyft rides, which that's only for a limited time. I think that's through March of 2025. But if you take a lot of Lyft rides, that could be actually quite meaningful as well for you. Now, like I said, those points earned are because I put so much spend on the card. But one of the reasons I put so much spend on the card, especially my travel spend, is because the insurance on this card is some of the best from any credit card. So I think primarily what people love this card for insurance-wise is the car rental insurance. It's pretty much the best you can get from a credit card. And the reason it's the best is that, first of all, it acts as the primary insurance, which means you don't have to file if something happens when you're renting a car. You don't have to file with any other insurance. This is your primary insurance. So when something happens, you go to them first. And the fact that it's free, free in the sense that it's included with your annual fee, that's pretty solid. To not need to buy any other car insurance, either privately or with the rental company when you rent a car. In fact, for this insurance to work, you need to decline coverage from the car rental company. So you need to say no to spending more money on your car rental for this free included insurance to work. It covers quite a lot. Actually, it has a pretty high threshold for what it will cover, and it covers every driver who is on the rental agreement. So not just the cardholder. So if you're traveling on a road trip with friends or with your family and you have multiple drivers listed on the rental agreement, everybody will be covered by this insurance, which is fantastic. So it's very comprehensive insurance. It'll save you hard cash on the rental bill, but also in the event that something does happen, you will be happy that you have this card and that you use that insurance. Now, it also has things like trip cancellation insurance, delay insurance, lost baggage, emergency medical, and even more than that. And insurance is something that is hard to put a firm value on. But for me, it's something that I end up having to use a few times a year. Just in with the amount of travel I do, I run into situations where there are delays or cancellations and I need some kind of credit card insurance to kick in. And when I get reimbursed by the credit card company for that, I'm always happy that I hold these premium cards and use them for my travel purchases, because that alone, just one solid reimbursement from the travel insurance for some kind of mishap while traveling, That alone will pay for the annual fee. Of course, we hope that you don't have to use this. We hope that nothing goes wrong. But the peace of mind, knowing you have it, does have some intangible value. And the money you save when something does go wrong has some really high, very tangible value. And again, just one use of that in practice can justify having this card altogether. So to recap, this is a $550 annual fee. $300 we, like I said earlier, can kind of treat as cash. That takes it down to a net $250 annual fee. We're getting over $1,000 in value just from the points you earn. That's me. But again, even if you spend a quarter of what I spend on this card, a quarter, you're still breaking even just on that annual fee from the points and travel credit, plus your free Priority Pass membership, plus the comprehensive insurance that you get from it. So in my opinion, this card is pretty easy to justify, even with some of the unfortunate downsides like restaurant access being removed in the near future. So in my mind, this is a no-brainer, definitely something I'm going to keep for the foreseeable future as a very frequent traveler, something that I feel very confident in earning lots of points with, and just having that really powerful insurance on my side for when things do go wrong. So hopefully this helped maybe get you over the hump if you were considering the card. And if you weren't considering the card, maybe now you will. And if you liked this type of format, definitely let us know in the reviews. Leave us a review, leave a comment on YouTube, send us an email at podcast@dailydrop.com if you want more episodes like this where we just break down the math of an annual fee to help you decide whether or not it might be worth it for you. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.